The old school bell tells us it's time for session number 26 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. This school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We begin each week with a Sunday morning Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., and an evening worship at 6 p.m. We also have a Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m. Now, all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And your teacher for this school is Edwin Alexander Elam, who actually passed from this life onto his reward in 1929. But before he left, he wrote a number of Sunday school lessons, and I'm reading from a little book called Elam's Notes on Bible School Lessons that he prepared for the year 1922. And we're in the middle of a lesson that he wrote for March 19th, 1922. You know, someone says, I wish they taught Bible in Sunday school the way they used to. Well, this is the way they used to do it. Now, what I'm reading about is the end of a lesson of a quarter that he has spent on the history of northern Israel. And this last lesson is about the downfall of Israel from 2 Kings 17. And last class session, we read 2 Kings 17, 9 through 18, and showed that their downfall was because they had forsaken God and turned to the gods of the nations round about them and worshiped those gods in that way instead of the way that God had told them to worship Him. And we're in a paragraph where he was describing their worship. And I want to read that paragraph. It's under the explanatory notes on page 80 of this little book. And it's talking about the appeal of the idolatrous worship. Here's what Elam had to say. It appealed to the worldly and fashionable and was supported by learning, wealth, and power. All these combined made it a mighty influence for evil and destruction. The worship of the invisible God was pure, true, sincere, righteous, and required therefore forsaking and confession of sin, and has always been opposed by worldly wisdom and power. It is a sad mistake now to turn away from that worship of God in spirit and truth taught in the New Testament for any system which appeals to the senses, taste, passions, and pride of the fashionable, worldly, and wealthy. To try to make the pure, spiritual, holy service of the true but invisible God tasteful and attractive and pleasant and agreeable to the refined, cultured, but unconverted world is to prostitute it to the service of the creature rather than to make it the means of lifting up the creature to the Creator. I want you to think about that just a little bit. What Elam is talking about here and the way they worshiped to Baal and Ashtaroth and Molech those many, many years ago in old northern Israel that brought about their downfall. And think about the way some people worship today. You know, the way I hear some people talk about worship, it sounds like a big show. I've even heard about people going to worship practice. Worship practice? Well, it's a rehearsal. They're going to get their show down so they can put on a good show. And boy, they do it. And you know, the worldly and the sensual and those that are seeking entertainment and pleasure for themselves in worship, now they like that. In fact, they'll drive many distances to go see the show. And some of these shows, they'll have a full band up there with drums and electric guitars and steel guitars. And they'll have lights flashing around. And some of them even have smoke that go across the stage. I heard one fella coming out of a worship service like that hadn't been to church. And he loved it so much. And he said, "Why, it's like going to a rock concert." Do you think God wants to be worshipped in that manner? I'll tell you, those people that love that kind of worship would have loved the idolatrous worship in northern Israel of those false gods, because that's the kinds of things that they were appealing to. When you worship God, you don't have to have ladies jumping up and waving their hands and hollering and speaking in tongues and people jumping over pews and wallering in the sawdust and all kind of silly nonsense like that. The true, pure, sincere worship to God involves the mind of man, and it involves the submission of man to God's ways, where he bends his knee to do God reverence and honor and uplifts him. You know, even the preaching ought to be worshiped to God. Some preachers act like the folks have come to worship the preacher, and they talk so much about themselves when they need to be doing is teaching what the Bible says and pointing people to God's Word. The reverence and respect that the preacher shows toward God's Word, and then the reverence and respect to those listening to the preacher show towards God's Word, is what makes worship acceptable to God, because it reflects the reverence and respect that they have for God Himself. Someone says, well, worship ought to be a holy wow. If that's what they want, go worship Baal. God is looking for true worshipers, and they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But let's get back to what Elam said. The second point he's making here is that they would not hear, and they sold themselves to do evil. God was gracious and merciful and did not send them into captivity for the first or second transgression. He testified unto Israel and under Judah by every prophet and every seer. Seers were those to whom God revealed things by visions. God sent to them Elijah, Elisha, and Jonah, Amos, and Hosea. Besides, there were many schools of the prophets of which we have learned. And Hezekiah, in his reform of Judah, sent messengers throughout Israel, exhorting all to repent, return to Jerusalem, and worship God as it is written, 2 Chronicles 30:5-12. God taught them, warned them, persuaded them, and chastened them, doing everything in mercy and love to reclaim and save them. So later on, he pled with Judah. God pled with Israel, recounted his goodness, and urged them to repent. Yet they despised his goodness. You can read about that in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Notwithstanding all God did in teaching, warning, pointing out their sins, and showing the consequences, they would not hear. But as oxen under the yoke harden their necks when they are bent on going a certain direction and will not be guided by any other direction, so they were obstinate and self-willed and stiffened to their necks, Deuteronomy 31:27, like to the neck of their fathers who believed not in Jehovah. They believed in the existence of God, but they did not believe in Him. To trust and obey God and to show confidence in Him and to rely upon His ways and means is to believe in Him. Instead of believing in God, they rejected His statutes, broke His covenant, followed vanity, and went after the nations of the land. Idols were called vain things and were dumb, lifeless, and powerless to bless and to save. And following them, Israel became vain, weak, and helpless. These verses show that Israel did not believe in Jehovah their God. They forsook all the commandments of Jehovah their God. They turned away from all that was right and good, and followed all that was wrong. The molten images mentioned here were the two calves made by Jeroboam, way back in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 28, who caused Israel to sin, and whose influence and example they never turned away. The Asherah was a wooden image
referred to above, all the host of heaven was the sun, moon, and stars. This host of heaven was represented by Baal, the sun god, and Asherah. They offered their children as sacrifices, burned in the fire to the god Molech. They used divination and enchantments, different methods of trying to learn future events, consultations of wizards, witches, and those that had familiar spirits, and the use of augury, necromancy, and sorcery that were forbidden. They sold themselves to do evil. This figure is drawn from the fact of men selling themselves into slavery and giving themselves up entirely to do the will of their masters. So Israel sold themselves to do evil and wholly serve their master. This verse says that because of all the foregoing sins and transgressions, God was very angry with Israel. God's indignation was aroused, and he removed them out of his sight to the places mentioned in 2 Kings 17:6. They brought up this all upon themselves. As stated in the introduction, Judah remained for about 136 years before the Babylonian captivity. Well, that is the sad, sad end of that northern kingdom of Israel. There were 10 tribes in that northern kingdom. When you hear someone talking about the lost tribes of Israel, well, that's what they're talking about. They weren't lost because people just misplaced them. They were lost because other nations came in and occupied their land and drove them out and threw them out, and they were scattered among the other nations, and they lost their identity as a people. Now, that did not happen to the southern kingdom. The kingdom, the tribes in the southern kingdom, mostly Judah, but also Benjamin and some of the Levites, they were not lost and did not lose their identity when they went into Babylon. But those 10 tribes to the north lost their identity as a people and become lost in history. That sad story of the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Now that completes the first quarter of these lessons, all except the lesson review. And there's not much said here. The lesson review, the text for the lesson review is simply Psalm 145 and verse 17. It says, Jehovah is righteous in all his ways and gracious in all of his works. There's another passage that I'm looking up right now. It's in Proverbs chapter 14. You might hear the pages turning. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 21 through 35. Here it says, He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath pity on the poor, happy is he. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of all lips tendeth only to penury. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the folly of fools is only folly. A true witness delivereth souls, but he that uttereth lies causeth deceit. The fear of Jehovah is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of Jehovah is a fountain of life, that one may depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's glory, but in the want of people is the destruction of pride. He that is slow to anger is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A tranquil heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is as the rottenness of the bones. It goes on down to where verse 34 says, Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. What a fitting way to end this sad story of those lost tribes of Israel. We're coming to the conclusion of our time. The old schoolmaster would say, You may now be dismissed, but be next week for the Warren County Radio Bible School.